The first offseason domino of the college basketball for the Badgers has fallen. Transfer point guard coming in. We're going to talk about it, all that and more on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your daily source for everything happening with the Wisconsin Badgers college football and basketball teams. Big show today. We're going to get into the first dominoes of the college basketball offseason falling for the Badgers and Coach Greg Gard. Big transfer coming in. We also have a 2023 commit on the high school side. And to help break all that down, we have Dylan Graff, USA Today Badger insider, joining the show. We're going to bring him on right now. Dylan, what's up, my man?
Yeah, how we doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled to have you here. I've wanted to talk hoops with you for a little while, following you on Twitter. We're going to get all your contact info out there. But one of the coolest things about having you on for this show is you cover UW Green Bay. So you are intimately familiar with Kamari McGee's game.
Yes, that is correct. I've been fortunate enough to follow him throughout this past year and what was an otherwise pretty disappointing season for the Phoenix.
I saw, just watching through his film, man, you see the box score at the bottom showing the game score, and there's, you know, UW Green Bay 4-20 at one point. Yeah, you know, I don't know what the final record was, but obviously that's a very tough season for a freshman point guard to kind of lead the team.
Yeah, 5-25 on the year. They followed a pretty similar script throughout the year. They'd hang tough for about 2/3 of the game and then kind of let it go in the end. But, you know, he grew a lot as a player throughout the year. He came off the pine for the first 9 games of the season, and after he got his opportunity in the starting lineup, he really never looked back.
So, and I just want to get the stats out here. So Kamari McGee was a true freshman last year, right? True freshman. 11.6 points per game, 1.9 assists, 27% from three, 81% from the free throw line. He was on the All Horizon freshman team. So I want to jump into this right away, and from watching some of the film and seeing the numbers, the obvious biggest concern that jumps out immediately is the very low 3-point percentage. Valid concern, or is that something that was more of a product of the system he was in and you like the form?
Yeah, I've got to defend him a little bit on this one. He was on one of the nation's worst D1 offenses and defenses for that matter. And they dealt with the dismissal of, you know, their 1-point best player on their team, Donovan Ivory. They had lingering injuries and COVID symptoms through different players. And so they never really got to settle in on a rotation. And he kind of got thrust from a bench role, being one of the top reserves, into being the man. And it was a team with very few playmakers. So he was relied upon heavily to create offense when they were without it. And they were also one of the nation's worst 3-point shooting teams. Actually, only 8 teams were worse than them in the entire country. So not a lot of spacing either. And he was forced to take a lot of shots late in the shot clock. So he's one of the only people capable of creating his own shot.
What about some of the strengths? So, you know, I talked about 3-point shooting percentage is a little low. You seem to think that might be more indicative of the offense he was in, which, you know, the ecosystem in a basketball offense can drag players down or bump them up. So, and he was just a freshman as well. But what were some of the strengths that were really obvious watching him play last year?
So I was fortunate enough a few times to watch him play in person. And what really stuck out about his game is that he is a natural leader. And you don't see that a lot out of somebody who's 18 years old. You know, he's talking both ends of the floor. You know, defensively, he is just a hard-nosed, get-after-it player. He, you know, hangs his hat on that end of the court, which obviously is going to translate well, place like Wisconsin. But he's just team first all the way through. You know, he can finish through contact about as well as anyone I've ever seen for his size. When he elevates in a mid-range jumper, he really hangs in the air for a little while and is able to finish some pretty tough shots over bigger defenders.
Yeah, bring that up, because watching him play a little bit, just seeing some of the highlights, I actually thought the mid-range game was really impressive. Able to get to a spot, the elbow usually, or somewhere in that area, and just elevate and bang a shot. I think that shows that the jumper is probably functional and will extend further out. Is the mid-range game something that he came into UW Green Bay with, or is that something that kind of progressed as the season went along?
You know, I think as he found comfortability in kind of orchestrating the offense and accepting the role that was ended up being asked of him, kind of saw it more as the year progressed. He really excelled playing, really just coming off ball screens, really crafty player. He finds ways to get it done. He's got a very quick first step, and his game is very fluid, and getting to that mid-range shot is something he's very, very comfortable with.
What about finishing at the rim and getting to the rim in general?
So he is a slippery player. Like he's not the fastest player on any court he plays on, but he is incredibly quick. As soon as he gets around you, he's gone. Once he gets to the rim, I think he plays a lot bigger than his size. And I know that's a little bit of a cliche, but he truly does. He has a different build than most point guards his size, and he is able to absorb contact. He's got a very college ready frame. You know, even coming out of high school, he's built more like a football player, and he's just tough. You know, he finishes well with both hands, finishes with his left about as well as anyone I've seen, at least in the Horizon League this season.
Writing, if you were to maybe write a scouting report for him, how would you attack him defensively? Is it just a size thing? Is he someone that's going to be able to hold up in the Big Ten against bigger guards, or is he going to have to be more of a situational defender, do you think?
I definitely think he is a little bit more of a situational defender. He's going to be facing a lot more size and athleticism at this level. But as far as him as an offensive player, I think that other teams might be better served to go under ball screens. He absolutely can shoot. He absolutely can. He didn't get a lot of clean looks. However, if he can get by you, that's where he does his best work, facilitating for others, getting off that mid-range jumper. He's got great court vision. He's somebody that doesn't concern me on the offensive end truly at all, but I think that I would play off him just a little bit and really try to force him to get that shot off rather than do what he does best.
Let's say the shooting progresses, right? And we go with your thoughts here that a lot of that was just the ecosystem he was in, which actually by that, I think his form looks really good.
I do too.
He shot 81% from the free throw line too as well, which again, that stuff translates typically, not always, but I would see his shooting get better from deep. If his shooting improves, like we both kind of think it probably will, being in a better system and just with maturity, what kind of ceiling does he have? Is he a potential in 2 or 3 years, second or third team all Big Ten guy, more than that, less than that? Like what is his ceiling at Wisconsin?
So I definitely view Kamari, and I mean this, you know, as the highest praise. I think that he is a very high floor prospect coming to Wisconsin, not as much of a high ceiling. I do think that we're looking at here a 3-year backup point guard, but a really good one at that. Somebody who accepts his role. Essentially at Green Bay, he did whatever was asked of him, whether that meant coming off the bench early in the season, taking over as a scorer, deferring when players like Cade Meyer were kind of on a roll. He will do whatever is asked of him, and I don't think we're talking about an all-Big Ten player, and I do not mean that as any kind of, you know, discredit to the player he is. I think that we're going to have we'll have a set-it-and-forget-it point guard tandem for 3 years.
That's phenomenal, because we're going to get more into it in the next segment, but I really felt like one of the weaknesses of this year's team, obviously the bench was pretty bad all year, but just not having someone else to initiate offense with when Chucky Epburn was either gone or on the bench or even having someone else playing alongside him that could facilitate offense, I think was a big weakness in this year's offense and made it a lot harder for shooters who weren't shooting that well anyway to get easier shots.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he's going to come in and bring a little bit of fluidity to the second unit in general. It's a little too early to say how many minutes I could envision a guy like him playing right out the gate, but I think that I could pretty easily see him slotting into like a Trevor Anderson role his last couple of year or his last year at Green or Wisconsin specifically. Not that I think they're similar players, but you know, he sat around that 14, 15 minutes a game range. And I think that he could very easily carve out, you know, about 15 minutes a game and be a really solid player, someone you can depend on off the bench.
All right, guys, definitely something I want to continue discussing with Dylan is the role that he's going to have on the team and how he's going to fill out some of the needs of the roster. So we're going to get into that segment next. First, let's get into one of our partners on the show, Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Trust me, I've tasted a bunch of them. I haven't found anything better than this. It's become my go-to sidekick on my fitness journey. I get the combo packs, where the variety packs where you get 12 different flavors in a box. Everything's 100% pure chocolate. 17 plus grams of protein, and everything's covered in 100% just goodness, man. There's nothing bad about these things. They found a way to make it taste healthy. Everything that you are getting out of that, your protein bar, but you hate eating, right? It, that cardboardy taste, this is not that. Built Bar has found a way to build a community around health foods that taste good. And it's so unique to find stuff like this. It's kind of like a cult here at Locked On. We go through these things by the barrel. At Built Bar, again, they're all about the taste. They make it delicious first, 100% real chocolate on everything. And they're always coming out with new flavors, mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond, et cetera, et cetera. You could go on and on and on. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order at built.com. Thanks again, guys, for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Starting April 28th, tune into Locked On NFL Draft for the live covers of the 2022 NFL Draft. 3 days of live analysis from all of our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. All right, guys, continuing this conversation with Dylan, I really want to get into, Dylan, the roster as constructed and where this transfer fits in, and also just kind of how the different spots move around. We talked a little bit about having that secondary playmaker on the team and how that was a bit of a missing aspect from last year's side. Do you see Kamari and Chucky playing together? And is that something where the two of them can kind of either initiate offense and take turns scoring off the ball? Is that something that you can see happening?
And that's something I'm struggling with a little bit. I don't think I can see them playing a ton of time together. However, I definitely think they would be capable. Kamari is a smaller point guard. He is only 6 foot tall. Obviously both players are people that excel with the ball in their hands. And so I think that to make that work, it would have to be against smaller lineups. I do think that each player brings enough to the table that they could get a handful of minutes together each game, but obviously someone like Chucky's already playing over 30 minutes a game, and that's even probably likely to increase. So I think that they're going to have to play on the floor together a little bit, but I think right now it's a little bit difficult fit to see, because I actually envision Kamari as kind of like a Chucky light. A lot of the things that Chucky does well are things that Kamari also does very well.
So that's interesting to me, because let me ping you with this then. And I don't want to diminish the necessity of having a good backup point guard. It's a huge deal, and especially just for the depth of Hepburn potentially getting hurt. However, given the limited amount of scholarships that every team has to play with, would it have made more sense to find, and it still may happen, by the way, but would it have made more sense to maybe find a combo guard, someone who could play with Chucky and also kind of initiate the offense? Because is he a little limited? No, I'm just going to wonder if, like you said, if Hepburn's playing 30-something minutes and the size defensively creates an issue if you have them both on the court together, it does beg the question if there's going to be enough minutes to really warrant the transfer in.
I think that they're going to be able to figure it out, but I do think that we could still see either a true shooting guard or a combo guard of some kind. I think it was a necessity, and we saw it obviously against Iowa State. You got to have somebody like that available. There has to be that option. I think that they brought Jacoby Neath in to initially kind of be somebody who might be able to handle the ball. And that's, small sample size. We didn't get to see him at full health, but I just don't think that's who he is. And so I think it makes it all the more important that you take the player when you can get it. And the fact that he has 3 years of growth in the program, I think there's a lot of potential there for him to be a really, really consistent and solid player for this program.
Yeah, and just for the record, I mostly agree with you on this. I agree with you that I don't think Neath is going to be that playmaker. I think he's more of a combo, more of just a two, maybe even against some lineups a three, where his athleticism can really play up. And this is also, let me ask you this. Lauren Bowman left the program. Is this essentially just a Lauren Bowman replacement as a guy who can come off the bench, hit some shots? He's a different player, different frame, obviously not as long, but a guy who will take those kind of minutes.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. I think that while they are obviously very different players, I do think that's kind of the role that I would see him slotting into next year, perhaps playing anywhere in that 10 to 15 minute range. Obviously Lauren had a little bit more versatility in his game. He could kind of play off ball more, which is something I don't necessarily think I can see Kamari doing a lot of. But yeah, I do think that he kind of slots back into that role and fills an immediate need for Wisconsin now and in the future.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. And I wanted to unpack something you said in the previous segment. You mentioned Kamari maybe being kind of a Trevor Anderson type player. And I kind of instantly saw Badger fans everywhere kind of saying, ugh. And I want to point out Trevor Anderson on last year's team would have been incredibly valuable, right? That's Absolutely. A really important piece to have. And how much better, just to kick it back to you, I mean, last year's bench was so bad. Having a reliable point guard who could come off the bench, and run reliable offense, hit open shots, that would have, we probably would have beat Iowa State if Trevor Anderson was on the roster.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, there weren't a lot of players off of the bench last year that you could really turn to and you knew what you were getting night in and night out. That's not to say there wasn't talent there, but I think that, you know, the numbers kind of reflected. This was the least relied upon bench from a minute standpoint that Greg Gard had deployed, you know, during his time as head coach. And I don't think there was a lot of consistency. And what I do think Kamari does bring is someone who you're going to know what you get. And I think that's something that Wisconsin fans maybe have taken for granted.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dylan, I have a couple other questions quickly. I know you're kind of short on time today. I want to give you an opportunity to let everyone know where they can find you, where your content is. I've started following you on Twitter. Really, really good basketball mind, really sharp. I recommend everyone do that. So where can people find you? Where's your content?
I write over at the Badgers Wire for USA Today. That's where I write most everything from the Badgers. I also cover UW Green Bay for Horizon Roundtable. They cover all teams within the Horizon League. And then sporadically, I'd also write for Badger of Honor of the Fansided Network.
Awesome. And we'll definitely link all your contact information, all your sites into this when we post the episode. So everyone, I encourage everyone to go follow Dylan. Excellent voice on Badger sports and especially hoops. Really, really plugged in, really sharp. You mentioned the kind of next domino, and I kind of want to get you out on this. Where is the backup point guard now? I think we can check that box, right?
Agreed.
We did land a 2023 combo guard. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. And maybe down the road, we'll get Dylan back on the show and kind of talk about high school recruiting and some of the players coming in both with the 2022 class and the 2023 class. But from the transfer market, where is the next biggest hole that Wisconsin needs to fill this offseason?
I think it's got to come as either a combo guard or somebody who can play on the wing that can score. It doesn't have to be somebody who's chipping in more than 10 points a game, because obviously I'm expecting big leaps from Chucky. We already saw what Tyler Wall can do in expanded role. Steven Crowell is a player that I actually think has a very high ceiling at Wisconsin, despite what some people may think. And I think all of them are going to have that natural progression next year. So we don't need someone to come in and replicate the amount of usage that we saw out of a Johnny Davis. You know, a player like Reeves would obviously be a dream fit. I think he would mesh perfectly. Although a Vanderplas, who we're obviously in the thick of it for, he would make a lot of sense, who is a player who could play out on the three, stretch the floor, but also slide down and play the four as well. He's a bigger forward that can put it on the deck. And I think he's got a little bit of versatility, but I think it's got to be somebody we can count on for at least 8 to 10 points a night. Just another complimentary piece, because I don't think we're going to see, I think we're going to see more of the Badgers team we've been used to with a scoring spread around a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think I'm right with you on it. There needs to be another wing player, someone with range, someone with the ability to score from the perimeter. There just wasn't enough shooting on last year's team. It's been talked about ad nauseum, but finding somebody that can help fill that void, not just that Davis left, but Davidson left too. You know, those are huge shoes to fill.
And that's 48% of the scoring from last year in two players alone.
Yep. And really, I mean, aside from Hepburn, the only reliable shooters, right? I mean, I think Crowell can shoot. I think he's going to shoot better.
I do too. I think that what we saw was not totally indicative of his ability.
I would agree with that. But last year he wasn't doing it last year, right?
Right.
So you just need another shooter. Do you think they're getting two guys? Do you think they're also going to get a backup five?
I absolutely do. And I think that's actually a huge point of contention for them. What Chris Vogt came in and did in his, 12 to 15 minutes a game, I don't think that can be understated. I really don't. He offered something completely different from a defensive perspective. And I think that's what the Badgers kind of hang their hat on. And, you know, while Crowell obviously knows he needs to beef up, and he will, I do think that we need a bigger bodied center with experience that we could have for even just 1 year, hopefully more than that, but that can come in and play that role off the bench and give the Badgers a different look on the nights where they match up with a Hunter Dickinson or Kofi Coburn, if you were to return, something like that.
Yep, 100% agree. And I know you got to get out of here, but I'm going to ask you one final question. The Iowa State game, Chris Vogt should have played more.
I would have to agree. He gave the Badgers some really solid minutes, and on a night where we didn't know we were getting from almost anyone.
Yep. All right, guys. Dylan, thank you so much for joining the show. I know you got to get out of here. I kept you 2 minutes too long, but I really appreciate it, man. I hope we can do this again, and I'll link all your contact stuff. So everyone, please give them a follow. Thank you so much, Dylan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, guys. We're going to jump into our next friend of the show. It's Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be the number one place for all your sports needs, sports gambling, sports bettings, odds, props, news, notes, podcasts, newsletters. It is all there, guys. It is your one-stop shop. Anything you need, anything you want to do, you can go into Bet Online. It has all of the latest wagering information, live casino games, blackjack, roulette, like I said, sports news. And you can really get into, I've been mentioning it, you can get into the futures, right? You can start talking about who do you think is going to win the NFC? Who's going to win the AFC? I've been heavy on the Niners plus 700. I've talked about that. The Bengals as well, plus 1,100. And NBA playoffs are starting. I'm on the Phoenix Suns tonight. I've got the minus 10 on the Phoenix Suns tonight. So BetOnline is your number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Go to the website, BetOnline. Use your mobile device or your computer to learn about all the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, guys, let's get into I mentioned it earlier. Wisconsin picked up a 2023 high school recruit, a combo guard, John Blackwell, out of Brother Rice, Michigan. Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, the high school's Brother Rice, 6'3", 175 pounds. Really kicking off the 2023 class. And this is a really interesting kid. He's a guy that did not have a lot of other Power 5 offers, right? Wisconsin's easily the best offer he has. But he's a guy with a big frame, like long frame, and a really good-looking shooter. And again, we've talked about it ad nauseum, guys. We've gone on and on and on about this. We need shooting. Wisconsin needs to upgrade their perimeter shooting. John Blackwell is a guy who's going to give them that. He's a guy who shot a high percentage. The form looks good. He's able to hit it in transition. He's able to hit it off the dribble. And he's also a guy who showed the ability to get to the rim. I don't think an explosive athlete, a good athlete. I think when you watch the film, it's not somebody whose highlights jump off the page, you know, like some of the upper elite high school athletes that you see in some of the top programs. But athletic enough, showed the ability to get to the rim. I think he's big enough, which I really like. I like the versatility. I think he's going to be able to play a little one or two. There was, on some of his clips, his ability to get in the paint, break people down, find open people. So I think there's some playmaking ability there. He's not a point guard in the true sense, but I think he's somebody that can make a play in transition or getting by his man. I really like the offensive versatility we saw from him. He's definitely a guy who showed the ability to shoot off the bounce. Like I said, shoot from deep, but there was some mid-range action as well. You know, there was getting to the rim. There were some offensive putbacks. You saw clips of him in transition. I think he's a guy that can probably score at all three levels as his career develops. And he can probably play pretty soon with his outside shooting and his frame. Let's talk about defensive versatility with Blackwell, right? That's something that's obviously huge at Wisconsin. With his frame, his length, you know, like I said, he's 6'3", he's 175, he's going to get bigger, his arms are pretty long. He's going to be able to guard 1-2, maybe even some threes, depending on the matchup. So he's going to be able to switch a little bit. That's a big deal, like just being able to pass those players off on the perimeter, not get caught up in the wash, not get caught up in switches, not get caught up in dribble handoffs. You know, Blackwell has that defensive versatility that I think is really useful for Wisconsin. And then, like I said, offensively, I think he's going to be able to fill needs that this team really requires. The other thing I like about this is Wisconsin, and especially Greg Gard, has made a habit of identifying players early, guys that a lot of times have blown up, you know, and then not be able to close the door. I think they identified Blackwell. They saw him play. They really liked him. And they shut the door on it, right? They did not let him blow up further and add more Power 5 offers. This is a guy that's easy to look at and say his best offer is Wisconsin and nobody else on that offer list is really impressive. I wouldn't stress it. Greg Gard knows talent. He really does. Finding the talent is not Greg Gard's problem. It never has been, okay? Locking that talent down and securing it, that's been more of the issue for Gard. So I wouldn't stress about the lack of big time offers with him. I wouldn't stress about the lack of notoriety or the fact that he's kind of a mid three star. I wouldn't stress about any of that. I think Gard knows people. The film to me looks good. Again, I don't know the kid like Gard does, obviously. I don't know his character or whatever, but the film looks good. I think he offers offensive versatility. He offers shooting. And I think the defensive versatility will come, and I like the frame. So I think there's a lot to like here. I would be excited about this pickup, guys. It gets the 2023 class off and rolling. There's going to be a ton more dominoes that fall this offseason. We're going to be here the entire time, you know, talking about everything that happens. As Dylan said, we think there's probably going to be two more grad transfers coming in, and there's probably going to be continued high school recruiting happening. So we're going to be here the entire time, guys. Coming up this week, we have a couple really cool interviews. We're going to talk about Tack Curtis a little bit and potentially even talk to his high school coach, get a feel for where he's at, what his game's like, and what the national perception of Wisconsin is. We're also going to continue talking about basketball. We have a couple other interviews coming up this week that you guys aren't going to want to miss. So as always, guys, I'm starting to ramble a little bit, so I'm going to cut this one short, but I appreciate all of the support, all the subscribers, really appreciate everybody helping to turn this into a fun community. We're going to keep bringing in guests that you guys like, get the smart people on the show, let them talk, and I'll just stay out of their way. That's the goal. And just appreciate everyone tuning in. Continue to leave a like, subscribe to the show, and you can reach out to us at LockedOnBadgers or LockedOnBadgers@gmail.com. Thanks for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day, guys. Free and available wherever you get podcasts, free and available on YouTube. Now make Locked On NFL Draft your second listen of the day. Former NFL quarterback Eric Crocker brings the NFL draft to life with Ryan Tracy, with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys.